This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore sitting in for Mr. John Stapmiller on Wednesday, the 29th day of May, year of our Lord, 2019. For those of you who don't know, I have the morning drive time show here at Republic Broadcasting, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday Central Time, and we're going to discuss the events of the day. And of course, we'll take your questions, calls, and comments here at Republic Broadcasting at 800-313-9443. I had the opportunity today to see Mr. Robert Mueller give his little 8 or 10 minute dissertation there at the Department of Justice. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of discussion, of course, about the significance of his 8 or 10 minute statement. The big takeaway for me was that if he was subpoenaed and did appear before any congressional committee in the House or the Senate, that he will not engage in any statements above and beyond what was in his report. I think that's a good thing. Of course, some of the members of the United States House of Representatives, they're suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. They're just fired up. They are fired up. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I've spent the majority of my adult life involved in legal matters, beginning in 1972 when I got my degree as a paralegal. I was within a few months immersed in a massive federal antitrust lawsuit, a lawsuit that was so classic that it's become the classic federal antitrust lawsuit that they teach in many law schools around the country, I've been told. And segue from there to the beginning training as a private investigator, and then not long after that, I was hired by the state of Missouri to become a homicide detective. That was September 1973. I was hired to become a homicide detective for the state of Missouri, and got my first homicide investigation a few weeks after that. So I've been involved in serious matters involving people's lives at risk, literally tens of millions in one case, $100 million at risk for our client in civil matters. So I know more than the average Jane or Joe about legal matters and complex legal matters at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level. So they keep talking about obstruction. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, a prosecuting attorney would be foolish, absolutely foolish, to file charges of obstruction of justice against a man or a woman if, listen carefully, if there's no underlying crime that's been committed. It'd look pretty foolish, wouldn't it? So let's say the potential crime was, let's say, spraying graffiti on a federal courthouse. That would be a federal crime. That obviously, anytime you damage federal property, you're committing a federal crime. So if President Trump was going to be charged with spray painting graffiti on the side of the United States of the United States Supreme Court building, and there was an investigation, and he obstructed that investigation, if the spray painting of graffiti never happened, never took place, there was no spray painting, it was just all a fantasy, a prosecutor, or the House Judiciary Committee, in this case, would look pretty foolish, saying that President Trump obstructed justice in the investigation into spray painting graffiti on the side of the United States Supreme Court building, when in fact no spray painting ever took place. I'm trying to put out a bit of a silly comparison here, so people, to make the point just as clear as I can make it. If there's no underlying crime and you have what you believe is obstruction, and you prosecute that obstruction when there, in fact, is no underlying crime, you're going to look pretty silly. You're going to make yourself look foolish. You really will. And that's exactly what would happen if the House, and the only place articles of impeachment can come from, by the way, there is no other place, is the House Judiciary Committee. They can't originate anywhere else. Led by Mr. Jerry Nadler, is the head of the House Judiciary Committee. If he was to pursue that with articles of impeachment, that Donald Trump obstructed justice in this investigation, and in fact there was no underlying crime that was committed, he would look pretty foolish. The Democratic members supporting him in the House Judiciary Committee would look pretty foolish. They would look absolutely foolish, is what they would look like. And at some point, they will be advised of what I'm saying. The pursuit of obstruction of justice charges in the House Judiciary Committee is a fantasy that isn't going to go anywhere. It can't, and it won't. So they're, I don't know where they're going to find any evidence. All the evidence has been released in the Mueller report. The members of the House Judiciary Committee, some of them, I'm not sure all of them, but I'm sure Mr. Nadler and the top Republican have access to seeing almost all of it. There might be a few sentences here and there that's been deleted. And the things that have been deleted, they're not going to get to see anyway. It's simply not going to happen. I predicted last fall, after the election, when we being the Republicans, when we lost the House of Representatives, that for the next two calendar years, from November of 2018 to November of 2020, that the Democrats nationwide would proceed for 24 months to make complete fools of themselves, to make complete idiots of themselves, leading up to the next presidential election, and, of course, to the next election of the entire House of Representatives and one-third of the United States Senate. That's what happens every 2 years. Every 2 years, everybody in the House of Representatives gets reelected, or runs for office, I should say, and one-third of the United States Senate is up for election. It's a six-year office for the U.S. Senate and a two-year office for the House of Representatives. Now, you may think to yourself, well, why is John saying something so fundamental? Doesn't everybody know that? Well, it's good for a little discussion on the level of ignorance of our political system. And I'm going to use an example of a friend of mine. I've known this gentleman, since the early 1990s. We met around 1988, 1990, along there, about 30 years. He's an Air Force veteran. He has a four-year degree from a brick-and-mortar college, university. In his chosen career, He's been quite successful having his own, owning his own company, which has had as many as 8 and 10 employees at a time, writing a book that's been published on his chosen profession. I'm not going to give any more details because I don't want to publicly humiliate him. Air Force veteran, did I say that? He's an Air Force veteran. Great guy, family man, father, husband. And I found out in our discussions that he did not know. Now, this is a man at the time, he was in his early to mid-50s, with all the background I just mentioned. He did not know there was a difference between a state senator and a United States senator, between a U.S. representative and a state representative. Now, I lay that groundwork because if a gentleman with who's lived the life that I just described, a bright man, an educated man, a successful man, did not even know the difference between a state senator and a United States senator, I think that shows the dismal state of affairs we have with knowledge in our country. Very basic, fundamental knowledge in our country of how everything's put together, how things work in our political system. I was shocked, I was dismayed, I was surprised when my friend told me that. And that's the way it is. Now, there's different people going around doing man in the street interviews. And
the American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that silently spreads. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We had a momentary power disruption here. We had a thunderstorm in the area. I apologize. But we're back live here. Regardless, I was talking about my shock, my surprise, my dismay that my friend, Air Force veteran, college, four-year college degree, a successful businessman, a husband, father, at this point he's probably a grandfather, I'm sure, that he did not know the difference between a United States senator and a state senator. Now, if somebody who's lived that life and has done the things he has done doesn't know, what does that tell us about the rest of our population who hasn't had the education and the life experience that my friend has had? It's pretty dismal. Pretty dismal. The state of affairs when it comes to the knowledge of the voting public. Now, my friend, of course, is a literate man, a graduate, like I mentioned, of a four-year college with a four-year college degree. He's more educated and has a higher level of literacy than about half the population. About half the adults in this country are either completely illiterate or semi-literate. When I say semi-literate, they can read, kind of, sort of read. On one hand, their level of understanding what they read is maybe at a second or third grade level. The U.S. Army, for the purpose of drafting men during the Vietnam War, the men had to have a third grade reading ability before they would accept them into the Army. Now, that's a very low standard. The average newspaper in this country is written at a third grade level, by the way, in case you don't know. So, these are the people voting and choosing our presidents, vice presidents, U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen, and so forth. Men and women who either can't read and write at all or can barely read and write the English language or even read and write their native language as far as that goes. Just because you're from Guatemala, Honduras, or Mexico doesn't mean you're literate in Spanish, does it? Not at all. I sometimes mention these ballots when you go in to vote. Many of them around the country, at the top of each column of candidates, at the column of the Republican candidates, there'll be an image of an elephant. At the top of the column for the Democrats, there'll be an image of a donkey. At the top of the column for the Constitution Party, there'll be an image of an eagle. I believe the Libertarian Party has an image of a Liberty Bell, if I'm not mistaken. I was in the county clerk's office in my hometown, it's been a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I mentioned the following. There was three women in there, one Democrat, two Republican. I said if we eliminated those images off all the ballots, the Republicans would win every election. And the Democratic woman, she says, "Are you trying to tell me, John, that Democrats are more illiterate than Republicans?" And I said, "Well, I guess that's what I'm saying, isn't it?" I believe that to be true. I might be completely wrong, but I believe that to be true. In our republic, we cannot give a literacy test for people to vote. Now, originally, it was only male landowners that could vote. I think that it's probably not a bad system. The likelihood of going back to that is slim to none under the current circumstances. On one hand, on the other, this motor voter thing, where when you renew your license plate, they ask you if you want to register to vote, I don't agree with that at all. It's not a massive disruption in your life. It's not a huge cost in time or energy to go to a designated location and register to vote, whether it's a county courthouse or a satellite facility. It's not a big deal in time and effort. And if you're not willing to devote a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to register to vote and exercise your constitutional right, maybe you shouldn't be out there voting. Maybe you shouldn't. If it's not valuable enough to take an hour of your time, maybe as much as 2 hours if necessary, to travel to a location to register to vote. You only got to do it one time unless you move. If you move to another jurisdiction, obviously you need to do it over. But as long as you're living at a residence, you don't need to register to vote again. It doesn't sound too burdensome to me. Maybe it does to you. I'm sorry. Now, having a government-issued ID, now, if you're an adult in this country, is there very many things you can do? Can you live as a normal human being without a government-issued ID? Can you? It would be really, really difficult. You're going to fly on an airplane? No, that's not going to happen. You're going to conduct business at a bank? That's not going to happen. Are you going to drive an automobile? No. You're going to get a library card? No. You're going to cash a check at your local supermarket? That's not going to happen. You're going to go to the welfare office and apply for benefits? How can you do that without a government-issued ID card? So why is it burdensome? And in particular, why do they keep saying it's burdensome for minorities to have this simple documentation? And we have a break. We'll be right back. The heat is on. Woo!
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio.
All right, we're back. Let's do the Tara Moore here on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the 29th day of May. This year is quickly slipping away, isn't it? We'll have the longest day of the year in less than 4 weeks, the first day of summer, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. Then the days start getting shorter, don't they? Call number is 800-313-9443 here at Republic Broadcasting. This is J.R. Moore. I have the morning drive time here at Republic Broadcasting, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. My website is thelibertyman.com. I believe at this point, there's no believing about it. I've been with Republic longer than anybody except Mr. Stadtmuller, of course. Been here, 15 years or so. I've lost track of how long. The national scene, political scene, the cultural scene, is so bizarre. Is so, so bizarre. We have teenage boys who believe that they're girls, want to be girls, demanding authority from the school to enter the girls' locker room and change clothes with the girls, and that's happening. That's happening around the country. How strange is that? Who would have thought? Now, I've said on my show that I believe I could have convinced when I was a young man, 18 years old in high school, If we've been told that all we need to do is put on a wig to go into the girls' locker room when the girls are changing clothes, I think we probably could have got half the guys to sign up and do it. That was certainly hostile territory, the boys entering the girls' locker room, very hostile. And of course, any boy who would do so would receive severe punishment. They would be disciplined. They would be possibly removed from school. I mean, it would have been severe. But now we have the authorities in charge, the principals, the superintendents, and so forth, giving these boys permission to enter the girls' locker room while the girls are removing their clothes. That's so off the charts crazy. I have a fairly good vocabulary, but I think insane certainly strikes me as being an operative word here. Of course, a young man who believes he's a girl is suffering from a mental illness. A young woman who believes she's a boy is suffering from a mental illness. A young man sexually attracted to another young man is suffering from mental illness. We have now one running for U.S. president, by the way. The mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is suffering from the mental illness of homosexuality. Oh, you didn't know it was a mental illness? Oh, that's right. They cut the page out of the book of mental illness diagnosis. Did it go away? No, they just cut the page out. It's still a mental illness. It hasn't changed. What has changed is the attitude of people in charge. That's what's changed. Now, if I was sitting outside a public swimming pool and my beautiful 12-year-old granddaughter was entering the premises to change into her swimsuit, and I saw a man about to enter the premises, you think I'm going to dial 911? No. I'll do that after I got him down on the ground. That's when I'll dial 911, after I have him on the ground with his arm up behind his back in a very uncomfortable position. Then I'll dial 911 with my free hand. That's what I would do. Would there be consequences for me? Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care. Young women need to be protected. That's the way I was raised. And young men need to be protected also. They do. I recall it's been, 25, 30 years ago that female sports reporters were demanding and going to court to be allowed to go into the men's locker room following baseball games and football games. These men are wore out. They're tired. They want to take a shower and change clothes. And here they got to deal with women inside the locker room where these men can and should have an expectation of normal decency and privacy. That's gone too, isn't it? It's... I don't know, but let's talk about the military for a little bit. I joke in my radio show that we should have a new physical standard to be a cadet at West Point, the United States Military Academy at West Point, to be a cadet at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, to be a cadet at the Air Force Academy out there in Colorado Springs. The new physical requirement should be every cadet needs to be able to open a jar of pickles. Does that sound pretty simple? I don't know any women that can open a jar. There probably are some. I don't know any women that can open a jar of pickles. There probably are some, not many. Here's a bottom of the hour break. Stay tuned. Right back.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Jerry Moore here on Wednesday, the 29th of May. I like Mr. Stettmiller's bumper music. It's very catchy, very perky, upbeat. That's great. Well, as my regular listeners know, I am a veteran of the United States Army. I enlisted in the U.S. Army in the fall of 66. entered basic training January 1967. I got to Vietnam as an intelligence analyst. My first week, September 1967, was there until the first week of September 1968, working in psychological warfare. Came back to the States. Was with the U.S. Army Special Forces, the 6th Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg, where I left active duty in 1970, went back into the Army Reserves, back into Special Forces in 1979, was there for a while, and then went back into psychological warfare. I was with the 12th Special Forces Group in the Reserves. So I'm not a career man in the military, but I've had enough experience to know a bit about the Army and what was going on then and what was going on now and what is going on now. When I was active duty, the women were part of the Women's Army Corps, the WACs for short, and they were pretty much all of them that were There may have been some exceptions, but almost all of them were medical healthcare professionals in some way or another. That's what they did, and they did an excellent job for decades, serving with honor and distinction in the medical corps, which, in my opinion, is where women need to be, putting their skills to their best use while at the same time they're protected from harm. American men, it used to be American men would do anything and everything we could to protect women from harm and not intentionally place them in harm's way. Not intentionally. Of course, that all changed. When I went back in the reserves in 1979, they were integrating women into the regular corps of the Army. Not in special forces, but I went back to psychological warfare. We had some females in there. And the issues with women were becoming real apparent real quick. We went out to the field. We had porta-potties to accommodate the privacy that the Army wanted to make sure that women had privacy when they went to relieve themselves. Before that, when we went to the field and special forces and other outfits I was with, we didn't do that. We would set up ponchos as a privacy screen and just relieve ourselves in the field and have minimal privacy, very minimal, almost non-existent. There's various rules, and my friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, who has agreed to be with me on the radio tomorrow morning, I think will have him in the first hour, not positive yet, but he could do a one-hour dissertation, and has. I've seen him do a one-hour dissertation on all the issues that having women integrated into the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, all the issues this brings up, which there's multiple issues with esprit de corps, with combat efficiency, with discipline, with morale, and on and on and on. One of the big issues that the women have is that when they wear body armor and a helmet, they look like a little turtle. Women's bodies are obviously different than men's, and when they put on the combination of body armor and a helmet, you and if you're 5'2", you look like a child wearing army clothes is what you look like. It's very disappointing to see what's been going on. Now, if Hillary had been elected, one of the policies that Obama had attempted to implement was not implemented, we would have had men, active duty male soldiers, showing up for work on Monday morning wearing the uniform of a female soldier. That was going to become acceptable in the U.S. Army, Air Force, Marines, and so forth, Navy. For the male soldiers to wear the uniform of a woman and the female soldiers to wear the uniform of a man. That would be policy. That would be policy right now on May the 29th, 2019, if Hillary had been elected president. That would be the policy. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I believe that much of what's going on is to disenfranchise alpha male warriors and make alpha male warriors uncomfortable with their leadership, uncomfortable with being in the military, and as a consequence, leave the military instead of making it a career. How can you possibly have a Marine Corps, Army infantry, jet fighter pilots, unless you've got alpha male warriors to fill those positions? By definition, a female cannot be an alpha male warrior, can she? No. No, she can't. How could a female be an alpha male warrior? That's not going to happen. It can't happen. We had a requirement in basic training when I entered the Army that's since been dropped, since almost no woman can do this requirement. But when I went through basic training, every soldier, without exception, every soldier had to do the following requirement. That was to pick up another soldier of equal size and weight. So a 200-pound soldier would have to pick up another 200-pound soldier, fireman's carry. Now, that's In case you don't know, that's where the torso of the soldier being carried is across the shoulders of the soldier doing the carrying. So you've got one arm holding one leg and one arm holding the arm of the soldier being carried. And carry that soldier, fireman's carry, at a trot. Not walking, but at a trot around a quarter-mile track. It was a requirement. It was a mandatory, not optional requirement that every soldier in the U.S. Army had to do. If they couldn't do that, they would get a medical discharge. That's what would happen. Maybe a general discharge. I don't know. It was a serious matter. Now, people will point, here's what civilians think. They think the following: if a woman can do the job, then why not let her do it? Well, they can't. That's the point. Without exception, now I'm making a very strong statement here. Without exception, every physical requirement has been either reduced or eliminated to accommodate the women in the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, and the Navy. Without exception, every physical requirement has either been reduced or eliminated. Now, many women, a lot of women, are about the same size as my lovely wife, Dr. Marianne Moore, about the size of a 12-year-old boy, 5'2", 110, 115 pounds. Now, I've seen this happen, and it is happening. If the new recruits to West Point will be showing up soon, there will be women there, new recruits, 18-year-old young women, who are top athletes, top scholars, the size of a 12-year-old boy, 5'2", 110 pounds. If that woman had a twin brother who's 5'2", and 110 pounds, top athlete, top scholar, he would not be allowed to enter West Point as a cadet. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They do not allow men the size of a 12-year-old boy to be cadets at West Point, or to even be in the Army, as far as that goes. Not even be in the Army, let alone be a cadet at West Point. That will not happen. But women the size of a 12-year-old boy are routinely allowed not only in the Army, but allowed to become officers in the United States Army. Something's really broken there. Something's really wrong. Why aren't men the size of a 12-year-old boy allowed to be a soldier? Well, the reason should be obvious. They can't carry 100 pounds into the field on their back. That's routine for an infantryman, by the way. Very routine. They don't have the strength, they don't have the size to do the things a soldier needs to do to function properly as a soldier. That's why we don't have men the size of a 12-year-old boy, 5'2", 110 pounds. We don't allow men that size to be soldiers. Our military has become the laughing stock of all the other militaries on the planet. The British, the French, the Germans, the Italians. When the Italians are making fun of you, you're in big trouble. The Russians, the Chinese. They're making fun of us because of what we've done to ourselves. It's going to be difficult to reverse these things. I don't believe it's a higher priority for President Trump. He's got some very serious matters on his plate to address, especially this first term. He's done a lot. I'm so proud of this guy. He has done a lot to reverse all the bad policies put in place by two George Bushes, by one Bill Clinton, and by one Hussein Obama. That's a lot of things to undo, a lot of swamp to drain, a lot of deep state to retire, and thank goodness a lot of federal judges to appoint, and at least one, possibly two more, Supreme Court justices to appoint. Justice Ginsburg is a woman who has serious health issues, very serious health issues. She may last another year or two. She's not going to last 6 years. That's not going to happen. That simply, she will not be a Supreme Court justice for six more years. That's not going to happen. So there's one more appointment. And to get another one, it's highly likely. The liberals know this. The liberals, communists, Democrats, I kind of lumped them together as synonyms. Liberals, communists, Democrats, they know this. They know that there's, I believe it's more than 1,000 federal judgeships that need to be appointed. They know that by the time President Trump appoints these hundreds of federal judges, by the time he makes one or two more Supreme Court justice nominees, that things will change in that branch of government for the positive for decades into the future. They know this and are deathly afraid of it, as much as anything else. Much of what's going on can be fairly easily reversed by a liberal socialist communist president and a liberal socialist communist House of Representatives and Senate, if they could manage to take control of the Senate and maintain control of the House of Representatives. But you can't undo Supreme Court justices, and you can't undo federal judgeship appointments. They can't be undone, except under very extreme, very stringent conditions. It almost never happens. The liberal, socialist, communist, Democrats know this. They know they're done for. And with the judicial branch of the government, with 2 more years of President Trump, 6 more, they're finished for a generation. They know that. They're scared to death of it. They're grasping at straws. All this impeachment talk is desperate grasping at straws. That's what it is. And it's not. They know they're not going to prevail. I don't know if professional gamblers in Las Vegas bet on presidential races. They probably do. They probably bet on almost anything. Anybody who would bet against Donald Trump being reelected president would be foolish. They'd be absolutely foolish. There's probably some doing it, but it's a foolish thing to do. I talked last week on my show about something I want to bring up. Republic Broadcasting Archives of last Wednesday. This would be Wednesday, May the 22nd, second hour, and Thursday, May 23rd, the first 90 minutes. Last Wednesday, I had my friend Jeff Nyquist on. We began a discussion about Russian Spetsnaz, Russian Special Forces, their protocols, how they're organized, what their goals and objectives are. And we followed up the next day with my friend Command Sergeant Major Dan Page talking about what he did for a year in Bosnia, where one of his assignments was to be a liaison with the Russian Spetsnaz, the Russian Special Forces, and he was in pretty much daily conversations with a Russian colonel in charge of the Spetsnaz there in Bosnia. We're making up a special link at my website at thelibertyman.com. It should be ready hopefully by the end of the day tomorrow, where we've got those two archived broadcasts easily found. That will be, for all of you, that will be an important 2.5 hours. 1 hour Wednesday, hour and a half Thursday. 2.5 hours of education that can possibly literally save your life. Once you understand the threat, once you understand the reality of the threat, then you're prepared to move forward and take steps to mitigate, aren't you? Without the knowledge, how can you possibly mitigate? You need the knowledge first. During the break, the last break, I just talked to Command Sergeant Major Dan Page briefly. He agreed to come on the air with me tomorrow. I need to move around a couple of things to make that happen, but I hope to have him on the first hour tomorrow. That's my goal. We'll see. That's my goal. And if he is, that broadcast will start at 0800 here at Republic Broadcasting, 0800 Central Time, 0900 Eastern Time. He did a speech before the Oath Keepers in 2016, late winter, early spring, that's received a lot of notoriety. I believe more than 1 million people have watched it at this point. And a few months after that, he's one of the first responders at the Ferguson riots in St. Louis County, where he was working as a St. Louis County police sergeant. And he once again made international news that time because of an interaction with a TV reporter named Don Lemon. Very unethical TV reporter, by the way. So, I hope to have him on tomorrow morning, and we'll be talking more about these matters, the true threat posed to our country by the international communist conspiracy. It is a clear and present danger. Don't fool yourself. It really is. Somebody I hope to be interviewing soon. I have not yet. We have a break. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that ever is.
Got the little black car, the little black dress. We got the guru and the trailer and the full court press. We got the software, hard drive, CD-ROM. We got the exploitation.com. We got the pages.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jerry Moore here on Wednesday, the 29th of May. I just confirmed just a moment ago my friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, will be with me live on the air at Republic Broadcasting at 0800 Thursday, the 30th, 0800 Central Time, 0900 Eastern Time. We'll be talking about the international communist conspiracy. We'll be talking about the threat posed by Spetsnaz here to us. They're here. They're here. I've confirmed this from multiple independent sources that don't know each other. When I'm conducting an investigation, whether it's a homicide investigation or something else, when I find witnesses that don't know each other, that have the same testimony, that gives the testimony a lot more veracity. Not 100%, of course not. But it makes it a lot stronger when people who don't know each other are saying the exact same thing. When it comes to Russian Spetsnaz, I've come across the same thing. Witnesses who don't know each other telling essentially the same story. Now, where are they? Well, how can you tell where they are and who they are? They grow up speaking English. A friend of mine grew up in the Czech Republic. It was Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic. He speaks really good English. But you would know instantly after he speaks his first sentence that he did not grow up speaking English. You would know it instantly. He grew up speaking the Czech language. Very similar to German, by the way. It's different, but it's a similar language. And I asked him about this. I said, how do you get a native-born Slavic man or woman? These are Slavic languages. Russian's a Slavic language, by the way. How do you get a native-born Slavic person to speak English with the proper Midwestern neutral accent? He says, there's only one way, John. You have to start when they're 5 years old. There is no other way. Otherwise, you're going to have that Slavic accent to your English. So here's the deal. The recruiters, they go into Russian kindergarten, literally, and they do diagnostic testing on five-year-old boys to find out which five-year-old boys, 13 years in the future, when they're 18, will be athletic and bright and make great soldiers. They're removed from regular Russian kindergartens at that point in time, and they're put into special kindergartens for the Spetsnaz soldiers. And they're immersed in English. They have English newspapers. They have English magazines. They have movies with the English language, music with the English language, posters on the walls in English. They're literally immersed in American English, by the way. Not British English, not Australian or Canadian English. They're immersed in American English. So they acquire the proper American accent. As I said last week, when I had Command Sergeant Major Page on with me, I said, Dan, these Spetsnaz, they speak English better than my hillbilly neighbors, don't they? He says, yep. He kind of laughed. He says, yep, they do. Here's our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, who take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. We must take America back.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.